Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord on another Lord's Day. Yes, today is Thursday, December the 15th, 2016. You are in tune to the Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your executive director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. I'd like to welcome all my listeners again on tonight, and I would like for you all to go into a word of prayer with me at this time as we always open up with prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give your name praise, glory, and honor. Heavenly Father, we come to say thank you for this another day that you have made. And, oh God, before we go any further, we ask that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions on tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to move by your Spirit over the airways as your man of God brings the word to the people on tonight over this platform. We thank you for him in advance. And, oh God, I pray, Lord, that as he brings your word, that should there be any listeners on the line or on the computer, Heavenly Father, that are not saved in Jesus' name, that after hearing the word of God on tonight, they will be able to open their own mouth, confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him to come into their hearts whereby they can be saved in his name. They will come to know their God purpose. They will not only know their God purpose, they will live in their God purpose and fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory. We come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land in the name of Jesus. And also, Heavenly Father, those that are bereaved, Heavenly Father, we know that you are a comforter. We know that earth has no sorrows that heaven cannot heal. So we know that you are an omnipotent God. We know that you're omnipresent. You're everywhere at the same time. So we don't have to send you anywhere because you're everywhere. And you already know what your people need. So we just lift up your people, Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that you would meet every need on tonight. And, oh, God, we just pray that you would just move by your spirit, have your way through your vessel on tonight that's going to bring forth your word, anoint him anew and afresh. And, oh, God, continue to bless his ministry, bless his family as only you can. And, oh, God, I lift up my bishop and pastor, Bishop James A. Jennings, and also the Shield of Faith Church family. I lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus, as well as my entire family. Forgive us all of all of our sins and transgressions, that you would be glorified through us in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we just come humbly seeking you for all that you have called for us to be, that we would know without a doubt that we are on the right path and that we are being access to the kingdom of God and not liabilities. We're not scattering your flock. So we just thank you for the privilege, for the opportunity to be used by you on tonight. And for this, we give you praise and glory and honor. Heavenly Father, I pray and lift up all those that are faithful listeners on this platform. Continue to bless them. And, oh, God, we pray that you would continue to grant them the desires of their hearts. We just give your name praise. We love you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We know that we're not worthy of it. We don't deserve it. But we just thank you for it, Heavenly Father, because we know without you, we can't do nothing. But we know that with you, all things are possible. So we just give your name praise and glory and honor once again in Jesus' name. And all of the people of God said amen. Well, as you all know, we always have a spiritual food for thought. And our spiritual food for thought for tonight is, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought is, better is open rebuke than hidden love. And that's found in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. Well, I have a special guest on tonight that's about to come forth and bring the word of God on tonight. But as I always ask all listeners, please get your Bibles out, your sword, get your pens and paper out, because you're always going to need to write down these scriptures, because as the men and women of God come forth over this platform, they always share a word from God. And we always like you to know that they're not making these things up. We want you to be able to read it and follow along with them as we go through the word of God on tonight. So get your Bibles, get your pens and paper so you can take notes. So that, and during the week or at your leisure time, that you can go back over your notes and over these for the message on tonight that will be beneficial and a blessing to you. So right now at this time, I'm going to bring forth Pastor Terrell Jackson. Are you on the line?
Yes, man of God. How are you doing this evening?
I am blessed. I cannot complain. God is too good to complain.
Amen.
Pastor Jackson, first, before you go into your the message on tonight, as I always ask all guests on my show, I would like for you at this time, if you could please share with the worldwide listeners a testimony. And right after your testimony, we're going to do a music break, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to yield the mic to you. But first, please share with us a testimony, then we'll go into our music break.
All right, man of God, the testimony that I want to share with all of the listeners out there is that God is a healer. I have a testimony that's strong. Last year around this time, I was battling cancer. And I can stand here and declare by the grace of God, by the power of God, by his dunamis, miraculous work and power, that I am cancer-free. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what the enemy has tried to sentence you to, I promise you the word of God can deliver. So that's my testimony, Brother Brown. And, hey, God is a healer. That's all I can say.
Well, you know what, you said a whole lot, but then those three words, that was a great testimony. And that is the reason why I ask all guests that come on this show to share a testimony, because God gets glory through our testimonies. And also,
yes,
not only do we get glory through our testimonies, but we can let others know that are doubtful or fearful and don't trust God or don't have faith, or that may be weak in their faith. That is why it's so important that we share our testimonies, so that their faith can be increased, so they can know that if God did it for you, that he's also able to do it for them. And also that not only will God be glorified, but they will be blessed and you will be blessed as well for sharing your testimonies. And speaking of testimonies, and I want to make this quick announcement real quick before we do the music break. I did not do it.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, starting in January, the Lord has put it in my spirit, I'm going to be opening up the phone lines Every now and then, whenever the Lord says so, I'm going to be opening up the phone line for all worldwide listeners to call in and share your testimonies. And the number that you need to dial to share your testimonies will be area code 657-364. You might want to write this down. When the Lord tells me to open up the phone lines for worldwide listeners, I do want you all to be involved because God is going to be glorified. Just like I just said, God gets glory through our testimonies. And He wants you to share your testimony. So you got to stand up in holy boldness. If you know that God did something for you that only God could do, you need to share that testimony so that someone else would know He did it for you. He can do it for them as well. So when I open up the phone lines, this is the number that you're going to need to dial. Again, area code 657-383-1364. So I will let you know, you all know in advance, when the phone lines will be open for worldwide listeners to call in and share your testimonies. But right at this moment, we're going to do a music break. And after this music break, Pastor Jackson will come forth with the word on tonight. But we are going to do for tonight, and I'm doing this often lately because of what we're going through, what the world is experiencing right now. It is time for the world to go back to prayer. It is time for us to get back to God. And so we are living in the last and evil days, and the handwriting is on the wall. Jesus Christ is soon to come again. So at this time, we're going to do a music break, and the song is titled Pray For Me. And but after this music break, Pastor Jackson, I'm not going to speak any further. I'm just going to yield the mic right over to you. But after this music break, you can go right into your word tonight.
Bless you.
Come on, KD.
Hallelujah. This is an old song. This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Yes, sir. Pray for me.
Hallelujah. Thank God that somebody prayed for me. Yeah, if you just think about what you have been through in your life, somebody needs to just put it in the atmosphere and tell God, I thank you, Lord, that somebody was praying for me. Once again, my name is Pastor Terrell Jackson. Just excited about what God is doing in this season for us individually and collectively. I don't care where you are, in your house, in your car, or at work, or wherever you are. Just declare, make this declaration with me that God is favoring me. Hallelujah. The word that God wants me to share with his beloved children today is Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at a few verses, verses 8 through 14. As you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, looking at verses 8 through 14, let me say a quick moment of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, how powerful, how mighty you are. Lord, right now with the apostolic anointing, Lord God, that you have favored to place upon my life, Lord, send me across these airwaves, Lord God, with a relevant word in season, Lord God, to be able to lift your people where they need be. Lord, I thank you right now for the opportunity, Lord God, of what Brother Brown's vision was, Lord God. Hallelujah. I ask you right now, empower your people. Cause us, Lord God, to be triumphant as we exit us out of 2016, going into 2017. I thank you right now for life, health, and strength for all who are tuned in, Lord God, at this hour. I thank you for it, and I pray this prayer in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. As it reads, yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One thing about this life that we live in, undoubtedly we have challenges. Paul, in this specific text here, was letting those that he was writing to in Philadelphia, that they would understand that he understood what it was to suffer loss. I don't know who I'm talking to out there that can actually declare that you have suffered loss. As a matter of fact, anybody who declares that they are a Christian, anybody that declares that they are in the body of Christ, if there's one thing that we will have to go through, is suffering loss. The Bible says clearly that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God promised this one thing, that he would deliver us from them all. So what am I saying? Everybody goes through a season where you have to learn what it is to be saved. Yes, as this text, as the title of this message today, the power of the resurrected life. Somebody just put it in the atmosphere. The power of a resurrected life. In order for you to get to the place to understand what it is to live a resurrected life, you must suffer loss. Why? Because you must become one that has went through the fire to actually understand what it is to reign with Christ. As we look at this text, let's look at verse 8. It says, yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. If you read it too fast, you would think that he actually was upset that he had to suffer loss. But as we look clearer at the text, he says that he has suffered loss only to know the knowledge of Christ Jesus, who was his Lord. We go through a time where many people know Jesus as being their Savior, meaning that, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. You know, I believe he died for me and I'm saved. But there's a time when you must go through this walk with God to really know what it means for him to become Lord over your life. Oh, you don't hear me. Lord means that he is the authority over your life. Many people want the saving grace of God, but they don't want to submit to the lordship that he represents. What am I saying? Sometimes you have to suffer being stripped of everything in order for you to understand just what it is to live for God. Let us look at this text more in deep. It says, and I do count everything basically that he lost. I'm still in verse 8. He says he counts them but as dung. If you don't know what dung means, you might as well look at it as waste, feces. He's saying that everything that I accumulated that might have meant something prior to me meeting Christ, prior to me submitting to him being the Lord over my life, I count it as being nothing. That's what you have to have. See, many people, they can have more degrees than a thermometer, and they will make their mind state or their eloquence and their education be the thing that they find glory in. But when you learn what it is to truly let God be the Lord over your life, those things don't matter. That's what Paul was saying. Paul was simply saying, you know what? I don't care what I have accumulated and lost. All I care about now is the excellency of Christ and truly living this life, what God has commissioned me to do. My first point today is to lose is to gain as it concerns the kingdom of God. Let me repeat that again. To lose is to gain as it concerns the kingdom of God. One of the strangest things that I find in this walk with God is that you're trying to understand something that you can't see with natural eyes. Let me prove it. The Bible says that faith that is seen, why do you yet hope for it? That simply means that you won't always be able to see naturally what God is up to, but you must trust his process. Somebody say, I have to trust the process. The reason why you have to trust the process is because God knows what he is up to, but he needs you to be in compliance. What it means to comply, it means you must be in agreement. You can't look at things that have left out of your life, even as we can speak on 2016, because 2016 in Hebrew means God's love. So in other words, this year was a year for God to show you his love. I don't care what you have suffered. I don't care how lonely it has been. I don't care how bitter the devil has tried to make you be. You got to say that I have literally learned what the love of God is. What is the love of God? Even when it looks like you are at your end, you feel God's compassion, you recognize what he has carried you through, and it gives you the security to know that I am loved by God. Somebody just declared the power of a resurrected life. So what am I saying? Don't worry about what you have lost. in the natural, because what you gain in the supernatural, in God's love and God's grace and by God's divine will supersede anything that you could ever imagine. Now, look at this. Look at this. We're in verse 9 now. He says, and be found in him. That's what Paul's desire was. He wanted to be found in God. I wonder how many of us want to be found in him. It's a passion that is released as it concerns your relationship with God, that you begin to die of your natural self. That's what loss represents. It's a sign of your natural man dying, because if there's one thing the flesh doesn't want to come into compliance with, is when the flesh loses that which they find security in. How many will admit, if you lost a car, if you lost a house, you can truly understand that it is something that it fights against your spirit man, because you're so focused on what you had in the natural. But God is saying right here, through his word, through Paul, that your main focus needs to be found in him. Somebody just declare it, Lord, I want to be found in you. I want to find my peace in you. I want to find my joy in you, because, Lord, I want your purpose to manifest in my life. And he says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Oh, I need to park my car right there. Our own righteousness is something that will cause us to make wrong right. Bible says in the word, it says, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. If you're not careful, if you don't totally find your purpose in surrendering to him, to be found in his will, you will find your own righteousness as your comfort zone. But we find here Paul is saying that I want to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness. That's when God examines us. We don't want God to look at us and see that we're trying to be in him with our own righteousness. Somebody just declare to the Lord, Lord, I want to be found in your righteousness. Then Paul says, which is of the law. He's saying that the only thing that I can make my righteousness equivalent to is the law. And how many know the word says that the letter killeth? Amen. So in other words, when you find your own self-righteousness in what you do, you have literally bred death to yourself, because how many know that you won't get it all right all the time? You need the grace of God to fill your assignment as it concerns his will. So he says, I don't want to have my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Now, you got to watch this. Now, he didn't say the faith that he would have. He said, but the faith that is through Christ. In order for you to live a resurrected life, you cannot live through your own faith. Amen. Let me read it again. Read it with me. I'm in verse 9. You need to catch this one here. He says, but it's not of my own righteousness what is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Whenever you come to the place that you want to live a resurrected life, you got to know you got to do it through the faith that is of Christ. Hallelujah. Somebody just declare it, Lord, I need the faith of Christ. Because by the end of this year, when I do a review on everything that I have came through, Lord, if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for the faith that I have lived through you, I don't know where I would be. I don't know who I'm talking to out there. But you know, it had to be the faith through Christ for you to still be here. I don't know about you, but I have went through some things in my life that if I didn't pull on the blood of Jesus, if I didn't tug on the grace of God, if I didn't get on my knees and call out and say, Lord, strengthen me, I wouldn't have known how to get through. So the next thing we must remember is we go through the faith that is of Christ. Then it says the righteousness which is of God by faith. So in other words, once you learn how to go through the faith that is of Christ, what does it do? It builds the supernatural righteousness, which is of God by faith. Amen. If there's one thing that we must ask God to do, we need to ask him to increase our faith to a level where we can understand that it's not just for material things, but it's for the intangible things as well, such as righteousness. Amen. The only way you can live this life is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness that is given to us by God, by our faith in him. Verse 10 says, that I may know him. Ooh, Lord, hallelujah. How many will say, Lord, I just want to know you. I want to get to a place, Lord God, where I'm not concerned with what's going on in the world, who the next president is, or how I will be sustained. But, Lord, I want to get to know you, because if I get to know you, then I understand clearer what actually my benefits are living a resurrected life. Somebody out there needs the resurrected life. If you never get a resurrected life, you won't get the peace that you need that will pass all understanding. You won't know how to put your mind in the hands of God so you can be able to war against that spirit of depression, anxiety about tomorrow, wondering if you're in the right standings with God. But you will find out that God will take you from where you are, build you up so you can know what surety is. I'm talking about the power of a resurrected life. So he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Yeah. We're living in times now where we get baptized by the water. Baptism is only a sign upon your faith, believing that Jesus Christ died for you. So that means you are buried with Christ. But the reality of it is, it's more than just being buried with Christ, because God wants you to get to a place where you learn how to live a resurrected life. Amen. Now watch it now. He says that I may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Yeah, many want to live a power-filled life, a resurrected life, but you don't want the part B of that scripture. You don't want to go through that suffering. You don't want to be in fellowship of what it feels like to be mistreated, where people despise you just because you are walking in the fellowship of God's suffering, of what Jesus went through on the cross. As long as we look to please man, we shortchange ourselves to even be what God would have us to be. How can I prove it? Jesus said, they hated me, so of course they're going to hate you. So that is a part, somebody say, of the suffering where the things that you wish to do, you don't do, and the things you don't want to do, you end up doing. That's where you find out the suffering where that flesh, that dirty, fresh flesh has to go through the crucifixion. Somebody say, I got to take my flesh to the cross. Yeah, when we take that flesh, that dirty, that stanky flesh, the flesh that is that enmity at war with God, you know, your own mind state, your own passions, you got to take it to the cross so you can let that die. Because once it dies, somebody needs to know that's when the promise comes. So he says that I may know the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Yeah. To be conformable to his death means that you are in the right alignment with the same process that Jesus did in the natural, that we suffer supernaturally. Somebody tell the Lord, Lord, I need for my fleshly desires to die. I need my fleshly desires to be crucified. Because, Lord, if there's one thing that I want, hallelujah, as Paul declared, Lord, I want to be found in you, hallelujah. I don't want to be found in my generational curse. I don't want to be found in my shortcomings. I don't want to be found in the nasty attitude. Lord, I want to be found in you. Somebody needs to tell the Lord if that's what you want. I know you have been through some things this year where you have began to see some of those shortcomings that have been trying to hold on to you for life. But somebody say, I got to break the life cycle. I'm tired of me carrying on this way. Some people will say, well, I'm just this way because this is how we all act in my family. But it comes a time where the old man must die. The old woman must die. You need to say, Lord, I need for you to recreate in me a clean heart, renewing me the right spirit, because I want to know what it feels like to live a resurrected life. Verse 11 says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Most people shy from scriptures like this because it's a reality that something must die. Usually we develop a morbid mentality as it concerns the things of the dead. But if there's one thing that we must come in agreement with, that the old nature must die. The old nature is that which tries to bubble up to make you believe that you can't get from what you have been all of your life. But God will sever the ties. He will regenerate your mind. He will recreate the heart. He will give you a new walk to be able to live this life. Amen. So look at it. It says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. God is not saying that you have attained it. Attain means to come into possession. God knows that to come into possession of this life is something that you must do daily. The scripture, the Bible says, we must die daily. What you had yesterday that gave you the strength to be able to make it to today cannot carry you into tomorrow. That's why you're tuned in right now on this airway. This is the way God imparts in you what you need to carry on. Hallelujah. Somebody begin to just thank God right there that he's given you what you need to carry on. He's given you what you need to move on. And what is the thing about it that I love how God does this thing is not just for your generation. If you get it together, if you totally surrender, if you live this power of the resurrected life, it's transferable. Just like the curse is transferable when we turn our back on God, that he says that he will not visit the future generations, when we turn to God, somebody say if we just turn to God. When we turn to God, it's the same way. It's generational. You don't have to worry about if one time when you leave here, if you leave here before your child leaves here, if they're going to be secure, you're going to leave a blessing for them instead of a curse. Somebody say the power of a resurrected life. Now watch this. He says, not as though I have already attained, not that I've already had it in possession, either were already perfect. You got to understand, God understands our shortcomings. He's not saying to live a power of a resurrected life that's based upon you being perfect. He just wants you to tap into his perfect will, going back to the faith. The faith is not something that you have. It's something that you have through Christ. Amen. Somebody say, thank God for Christ. Thank God that I have Christ, because it's through his faith that I get to the perfect will. So it's saying right here, either that we were already perfect, but I follow after. Somebody say, what are you following? Yeah. That's the deep thing about influence. Influence, whether you're on Facebook, whether you're on Instagram, whether you are on any form of social media, you have to remember that there is a requirement to what you are having people follow. Let me read it again. He says, but I follow after. The question is, when we do an assessment of 2016 and we do the total inventory, what have we been following after? But guess what? If anybody is listening to me on this blessed day of the 15th, hallelujah, it's a sign that you are going in a new direction. Amen. How can I prove it? 15 in Hebrew, we are in the 15th day of the month. 15 in Hebrew is Yad Hey, which means a new direction. Prophetically, I speak it to you. Whenever you go out of your way for God, you better believe that God is going to go out of his way for you. Somebody just lift your hands right there and say, God, I receive the new direction. Yeah, God is taking you somewhere next year. He's taking you somewhere right now because he wants you to know what it is to live a power-filled, resurrected life. So it says here, but I follow after if that I may apprehend. Lord, have mercy. See, the reason why if is in this scripture is because God gives us free will. So that means that you have a choice. Somebody say, I have a choice. I have a choice. And the Bible declares, choose ye this day who you will serve. Yeah, we living in times now where people don't want to serve God. They don't want to live for God. But I don't have a problem saying I serve the true and living God. We in a time now where you're going to have to speak up, stand up, live up, and do just what God has called you to do. That's the power of a resurrected life, that you don't have to live in the ifs, the so's, or the maybes, but you can live a power-filled life. So it says here, but if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Think about it. It says here that apprehend means to grasp with understanding. Paul was basically saying here, but if I follow after this, if I could truly be apprehended to the understanding of what this call, what this choice, what this opportunity is in Christ Jesus, it says that I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So in other words, you got to shake everything off. Everything that has been trying to weigh you down, to question why are you in this world, or what is your purpose for this life. And you must come in agreement that God wants to take you from where you are to be able to be a representation for him. That's the only reason why I'm here over these airwaves. God seems fit for this day, this day, this hour, that this message will go over the airwaves to talk to you today. For you to understand that it's all about choices. Amen. Somebody say, I'm making the right choice. Amen. It doesn't matter what you have went through prior to this moment now. God says from this point forward, I told you today is the 15th. In Hebrew, it means new direction. So today, somebody say, I'm going in a new direction. Hallelujah. I will live the life that God has ordained me to live. Somebody say, I'm living a new life. Now watch this. It says that, why are you living this new life? It says, because I am forgetting. Hallelujah. Yeah, this one thing I do, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. Y'all thought I was playing when I said that today represents a new direction. Look how the scripture lines up with the prophetic. He says, this thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. Why are you forgetting the one thing, hallelujah, that will hold you captive? Because you're going in a new direction. Why am I forgetting those things which are behind me? Somebody say, my past is behind me. I'm looking forward to do what God would have me to do. Amen. And it says that I'm forgetting those things which are behind me. And I'm reaching. Somebody say, I'm reaching. I'm reaching. I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before me. I hear in the realm of the spirit, God says, there's no reason for you to turn back now. He says you need to reach forward to where he is taking you. Somebody say, I'm reaching forward to where God has taken me. Why? Watch what it says. Because those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Somebody say, I'm going to the mark. Amen. For the prize of the high calling. Yeah, God is saying that he's taking you to a higher calling. He wants you to understand that many have had the opportunity, but so many have gotten tired throughout this walk. Amen. You remember how the scripture began. He said that he lost a lot of things. Many turn behind and look what they have lost. But I'm telling you, whatever you have lost, you better count it as gain. Because God says if you can just look forward, if you could just keep your eyes on the prize, I hear in this realm of the spirit, God is saying that the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Yeah, I thank God that there is a high calling. Amen. For so many, the high that is calling is some kind of addiction. I don't care if addiction to pills, liquor, whatever your choice of addiction may be. I hear God saying that his high calling that is in Christ Jesus supersedes all. Somebody just put it in the atmosphere. I believe that God is taking me in a new direction, that nothing that my past represents can hold me to not walking in this newness of life. I'm almost done. If you could turn with me right quick to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I want to read a few verses here to bring clarity to the power of the resurrected life. Because if there's one thing that you don't want to do, you don't want to get this information and fall into stagnation. You need God to bring you to his divine elevation so you can know what it's all about when it comes to his day of visitation. Watch it now. It says, therefore, I'm in verse 4, therefore, chapter 6 of Romans, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death. You remember what I told you, that when you're baptized into the dead, meaning that that old man has died. Now watch this, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Here is the confirmation, hallelujah. God wants you to know that when you got baptized by water, it was just symbolism of your faith and you being actually buried with Christ. Amen. But I hear in the realm of the Spirit, God is saying, be raised up now to the newness of life. The sad thing about it is many don't understand that it's two baptisms. They only understand the baptism of the water, but there is a baptism of Holy Ghost fire where God wants to bring you into the newness of life. Now watch this now. I'm in verse 5. He says that you are raised up from the dead of the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Do you know what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead? When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised with all power. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to get excited. Somebody say, Lord, I want to be raised with all power. Hallelujah. In this newness of life. When you get the newness of life, when you get raised with the power, you can walk a walk that you never could imagine. I'm finished, but I want to pray with you right now. As you have heard this, let me read it again, these last two verses. We're in chapter 6, Romans, verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together, somebody say together, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Father God, I ask you right now, if we have heard the word, Lord, the power of the resurrection, that they would no longer be bound to sin, that they would live the resurrected life by the power, hallelujah, same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that they would live in the newness of life, hallelujah, as we close 2016 upon your divine love. Lord, I declare, Lord God, that the best is yet to come, no matter what age the listener may be. Lord, you promise in your word that our ladder can be greater than our past. So I stand upon it. And I ask you right now, Lord God, by your divine power, Lord, let not one word fall to the ground off of this message, but let them be recipients of it to be able to live just as you have so ordained it. I thank you right now. Somebody begin to praise him right there. Wherever you are, begin to thank God. Begin to clap your hands. Began to declare, hallelujah, that my past is over, hallelujah. It's time for you to know, my sister, my brother, that you have been forgiven, hallelujah, and you have been totally redeemed, hallelujah. We thank God for it, hallelujah. Lord, we magnify you right now, hallelujah. Lord, we stand, Lord, in your word. Hallelujah. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. You're free, my sister. You're free, my brother. God has done the work. All you have to do is receive it. Somebody lift your hands right now. Tell the Lord, Lord, I just receive it. Hallelujah. I understand why I went through what I went through as a child. I understand why I had to go through what I went through as a teen. Somebody say, I understand what I went through in that marriage. I understand what I went through in my family. Hallelujah. But somebody say, I'm tired of looking back. I'm looking forward right now. Hallelujah. You're not your past. You're not what man has declared over you. You are free. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Somebody say, I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. God has changed me. Hallelujah. Know that your change is here. Don't think that you have to wait to the new year for resolutions. God has sent you a divine solution by his prophet, by his messenger, who has been sent to let you know that everything is going to be all right. It's all right. Let it out. Hallelujah. Let the Lord understand that you have come into agreement with his word. The Bible says when two or three touching and agreeing, God would be in the midst. I'm in agreement with your deliverance. I'm in agreement for you to go where God wants you to go. I'm in agreement with the will of God. Hallelujah. Whatever affliction, whatever you have suffered, God says that it was for your testimony. Hallelujah. And we overcame him being Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Yeah, the devil can't stop your testimony. Your testimony is a sign that God favors you. Hallelujah. Think about it. Many have died. Many have left who have suffered half of what you've been through. But somebody put in the atmosphere, I'm still here. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm still here. I still have a praise. I still have a purpose. I still have a destination. I still have a determination. I still have a destiny that God has released for me to walk in. Hallelujah. Don't you dare think I'm just speaking. I'm speaking under the authority of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When you have the Holy Ghost, you don't have to hold it yet. Amen. Whatever God has spoken into you tonight, this evening, it is nothing but confirmation of what God has already been echoing in your heart, your mind, and your soul. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. We magnify you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody just begin to thank him right there. Yeah. As you thank God, it leaves room for the manifestation of God. It lets God understand that you are in agreement with his will. Closed mouths don't get fed, as the ghetto vernacular so often echoes. God wants you to know what it means to live in his will, to declare his statutes, to live upon his petitions, his word, hallelujah. You got to know that God's petition, hallelujah, shall be made manifest. His petition is his word. Stand on his word. You know that the old man is crucified. Verse 6 in Romans. The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I'm not talking about dead in the natural. Don't you let the devil come in there. I'm talking about when you have been freed. Hallelujah. Freed from the death of the old man, the old natural man, the old man that tries to destroy you from your destiny, the old man that exemplifies the flesh man that is at war with the purposes of God, the flesh man that will tell you and echo to you that you can have two masters, but God's word has declared that you can't serve two masters because you will hate one and love the other. You have to be on the right side of the fence. Hallelujah. Somebody declare it, Lord, I'm on the right side of the fence. I'm on the right side of the fence, Lord God, because you will. You're real. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right in Hebrew means mercy. Left in Hebrew means judgment. Again, right in Hebrew means mercy. Left in Hebrew means judgment. So when you declare that you are on the right side of the fence, you're saying, I'm on the mercy side of the fence. Hallelujah. For those that want to be out there, who don't want to make the declaration to serve God, to be with him wholeheartedly, they're on the left side of the fence. They're on the judgment side. We pray for them that their eyes will be opened, that their hearts will be turned to flesh, so they can become sensitive to the move of God. Lord, take out the stony hearts for those that know where they should be. But because, as Paul declared in Philippians chapter 3, their own self-righteousness has curbed their senses to follow after the flesh and not, Lord God, your way. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord God, that we have ears to hear. Every time Jesus would go forward after he would declare a mighty word, he would say, he that has ears, let him hear. Hallelujah. So I'm Christ-like. I echo the same thing. He or she that have ears, let them hear. Hallelujah. May your ears of understanding be unlocked on today. May you understand what it is to live a power field life of a resurrected life by the mighty power of God. Hallelujah. We thank you right now, Lord. Is he a mighty God? If he's a mighty God, somebody give him a mighty praise. What do I mean by mighty? A strong praise. Hallelujah, Lord. We just give you a strong praise now. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. As we exit out of this 2016 year, Lord, thanking you, Lord God, for the newness. Somebody thank him for the newness right now. He's doing a new thing. Hallelujah. He's doing a new thing in you. Hallelujah. May people even ask you what soap you're using because they can see a glow on your countenance. Hallelujah. That's what the anointing does. It makes you look like that you have a glow all over you. But it's nothing but the power of God and the resurrected life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank right now, hallelujah, our dear brother James Brown for this vision. Hallelujah, Lord God. To be able to go out over the airways worldwide to declare, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for it, Lord. We magnify you for it. Lord, how great you are. Is he an awesome God? Hallelujah. Is he an awesome God? He is an awesome God. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for your awesome majestic. We thank you right now for your faithfulness. Somebody begin to give him the fruit of your lips. What is he to you? Who has he been throughout 2016? Lord, you've been faithful. You've been a shelter through the storm. You've been a peace that passeth all understanding. You've been a joy everlasting. Somebody give him the fruit of your lips, whatever he has been to you. Lord, you've been my peace in the midst of the storm. Somebody begin to declare who he is to you. Hallelujah. Lord, I just want to say, Lord God, if I could sum it all up, faithful. Even when fake friends and true enemies show their true colors, Lord, you have been faithful. Hallelujah. Has he been faithful to your saints? Has he been a faithful God to you throughout the years? Has he been faithful to you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Lord, thank praise you, the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor Terrell.
Amen.
Praise
yes,
the Lord
sir.
For you
yes,
on tonight. What a powerful, mighty word on tonight. I took a whole lot of notes from your message on tonight.
Amen.
That's going to bless me even more in the future than I can share with others. So I thank God for you on tonight for this powerful word that went forth on the airways on tonight. And I know that someone was blessed, but I have only about 10 seconds left. But I do want to thank you for being on the air tonight with me and sharing this powerful word. And know that this is not going to be your last time. You will be back on again as soon as the Lord says so. And my time is about up right now, so I'm going to close out in prayer. But I want to say thank you. And I thank my brother Herbert for introducing you to me.
Amen.
And
we praise
show
God
tonight. So I know that what the Lord is doing, and God is glorified through it. So we just ask that He will continue to bless you in your ministry, your family, and everything that you set your hands to do, even in the marketplace, that you would be blessed. And that He would be glorified through it all in Jesus' name. So Heavenly Father, as we get ready to close out this program on tonight, we pray, Lord, that you have moved by your spirit through your word, through your man of God.
Yes,
that someone that was once blind now can say that they're now able to see. They can confess the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved in His name. And that those that have gone astray can come back to the fold. And that the body of Christ, those who are in the body of Christ, are spiritually built up and strengthened and edified through this word on tonight. We give your name praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We just ask that you continue to be with us, continue to lead and guide us through your word, that you will be glorified through us and through our lives.
Yes.
It is all and done. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And the people of God said amen.
Hey.
Well, on tonight, listeners, I know that I do love you. Know that God loves you even more. And I thank you all for continuing to tune in faithfully every Thursday and every Saturday at the same time, 8 o'clock to 9 p.m. This coming Saturday, I would have another man of God that's coming forth with another powerful word that you will be blessed by. So continue to tune in and let the family and friends and church members and co-workers know, even your enemies, let them know about this program so they can tune in.
Yes.
Know that I welcome all feedback and comments from all listeners. I'm asking all listeners of you, but please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassadors-vessels and then click on follow. Know that I do welcome all feedback and comments from my listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com. Until Saturday, know that I love you and God loves you too. Good night.
Amen.